Well, good morning. My name is Aaron Osborne. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my privilege to be with you here this morning. We're continuing our series on the book of Psalms, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 103 today, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bible. In 2 weeks, Pastor Mike is going to be talking about Psalm 42 and depression and a lot of things in that arena. And so hopefully as we're talking in Psalm 103 about worship and praise for the Lord, today's a little more uplifting. Many of you know, my family, we go to Haiti a couple times a year to work with National Pastor Francois Romulus and the ministry there. He runs an orphanage, a church, a local school, and many things. And I was talking with him on the phone the other week, and he just wanted me to express to you just his sincere gratitude and appreciation for you, for the church at Reston Bible. On top of the regular monthly giving and support that you guys provide for them, we also provide Christmas presents for the orphans every year, which is a big highlight for them. Provide all the school supplies for their school. With our funds, build much of the school building there, and he is just so grateful and thankful for you and wants you to know about the impact that you are having for God's kingdom in Haiti, and he is just so grateful for you. Now, when we were there this past April, we went down there a few days before this team of 23 people from Reston Bible was supposed to come down. We were there a few days early to help get everything set up and take care of a bunch of things before the team came. And while we're there, on that Thursday night, the team was supposed to leave the D.C. area and fly to Miami and early Friday morning get into Haiti from Miami. Well, Thursday night, I get an email that says, hey, there's been some weather delays. You're not sure what's going to happen with our flights, but, you know, we'll keep you posted. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's this? So I figure out a way to get a hold of someone on the phone here. And I talk to them. They're like, yeah, there's been tons of thunderstorms up and down the East Coast, and thousands of flights are canceled. And now, instead of arriving Friday morning, we're not going to get there till Sunday morning. And honestly, inside, my heart just kind of sank. I was like, okay, Lord, seriously, what gives? Why are you allowing this to happen right here, right now? And I go outside where it was and find Pastor Francois and start talking to him and say, hey, Pastor Francois, I got this news to tell you. I'll never forget his response. I'm like, Aaron, that's so sad, but God is so good. And I stopped for a second. I was like, did you hear what I said? Excuse me. Did you hear what I said? And he said, here, sit down. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you some stories. And he's telling about this one story of how he needed to get from this town to this next town. And it's a long ride in this van that he was taking. They don't really have a ton of great roads at this time. So it's a long, bumpy ride. He's going to be taken from one town to the next town. And he was like, so I was on this van ride, and I had the best seat in the van, the seat right behind the driver. As we were on this van ride, behind the driver, it gives you more leg room, so it's great. And we're going along, and it's a bumpy ride, but I'm just kind of going from this town to one town. Well, about halfway through, it's a really long trip. They decide to pull over, let everyone kind of stretch their legs, use the restroom, whatever. And when he gets to get back in the van, there's a man sitting in the seat he was in. And he was like, well, excuse me, I was sitting there. He's like, well, you weren't sitting here when I got in. And he's like, but that's my seat. And he's like, well, it's my seat now. And Pastor Francois is like, oh, okay, and just takes another seat, and he's kind of a little annoyed with this guy. What's going on? You know, I had my nice seat, and he took it from me. Well, they go down the road, another 15, 20 minutes down the road, and their van gets stopped by a gunman who opens fire on their van, kills the driver and the man who took his seat instantly. And Pastor Francois looks at me, and he's like, Aaron, I was annoyed and I was frustrated about my seat, but the God of the universe was saving my life. And he went on for the next half hour to tell me story after story after story about how flat tires and flooded rivers and all these other disasters saved his life. And I want to start off with that, and I want us to keep that in mind as we are now looking at Psalm 103. Because we're going to be talking about some of the seats that we're currently in, and we all have different seats that we are in. Some of them are really big seats that we don't want to be in, like sickness, cancer, unemployment, depression. There's a lot of big seats we don't want to be in. Some of them are just smaller, more annoying seats that we don't want to be in, whether that's we're stuck in traffic or that line in the DMV, or we're trying to get out the door right when our kid decides he needs to have a poopy diaper, and you're like, come on, I got these plans, I'm trying to do this, and what are you doing messing with all my plans? We've got the big seats, and we've got the little seats. And what I want us to hear from Psalm 103 is this. Regardless of the seat I am in, I should praise God always. Like Pastor Francois said, God is so good. We have the option to just complain and be frustrated and annoyed with God for allowing these different circumstances. Or we have the option to praise God and to trust him. If you want to take this praise God always and expand it just a little bit, I would say, regardless of what I think, feel, or am experiencing, God is worthy to be praised for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Regardless of what I think, feel, or am experiencing, God is worthy to be praised for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Or again, if you like the short form, you can just say, praise God always. Now, if you would not consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't necessarily know how you feel about this whole God stuff, that's great. We are so glad that you are here and with us today. And I would encourage you, as you're listening today, we all have different seats that we find ourselves in. And I would encourage you to listen to where I think I land when I'm in those seats, when I don't know what to do with those seats, what God has encouraged me with and how he has challenged me. I'm going to read the first two verses of Psalm 103, then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive into the text. Verse 1 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." O God in heaven, we're each coming to you with our different hurts, our pains, our baggage, our frustrations, our joys, and our challenges, Lord. And God, I pray with whatever we are bringing before you today, that we would put those things aside and that you would teach us from your word, that you would instruct us from your word and your truth, and that as we listen to your word, that you would well up within us a desire and a heart of praise to you because you are good, you are awesome, and you are holy. Lord, God, teach us in this time from your word. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Now, just some quick background on Psalm 103. It was written by David, and there's going to be kind of four sections of the psalm that we're going to be talking through. In verses 1 to 5, we have the command to praise the one true God. In verses 6 to 14, there's the reminder of what God has done and who he is. In verses 15 to 18, we see a reminder of what man is. And then finally, in 19 to 22, there's the exhortation for all creation to praise God. And there's a lot of different ways you could have broken up Psalm 103. I chose this way because if you look in the Hebrew text, these are the different paragraphs or stanzas in this psalm in the Hebrew text. One other quick introductory kind of side note on praise. When I first think praise, a lot of times I instantly start thinking about singing. And while I could parse the differences maybe between praise, worship, adoration, a lot of those different words, for the purpose of our discussion today, I'm talking about having this joyful, thankful, and grateful attitude regardless of the circumstances I am experiencing. Regardless of whether I am serving, whether I'm working, whether I'm caring for other people, whether I'm in my car, whatever I'm doing, I'm talking far more about an attitude than I am a specific action. Pastor Francois had that attitude that God is good even when he wasn't in the seat that he desired. And we're talking about attitude today, not necessarily specific actions. Now, back to the text. In verse 1, again, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Now, when I read these verses, the first thing that comes to my mind is the song 10,000 Reasons, which starts with these lyrics. And it's hard for me sometimes to even read these verses without thinking that song or start singing that song in my head. And unfortunately, a lot of times I just start singing the song and not actually thinking of the lyrics. You know, it's kind of words coming out of my mouth. But here, as he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," that word translated "bless," or in other translations, "praise" or "worship," other things, that's actually in Hebrew in the command or the imperative form of the word. David is commanding himself to praise God. David is saying, hey, everything within me should be overflowing with praise. And my heart isn't necessarily there right now. And so he's like talking to himself and commanding himself to praise God and to give worship and thanks to God. Oh, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I talk to myself. And a lot of times that talking is kind of I'm kind of annoyed, I'm frustrated, or I'm worried, or I'm anxious. And that's what a lot of the talking to myself is. And as David is talking to himself, he is commanding himself, he's imploring himself to worship and praise the true God. It's also interesting that word that's translated bless, or praise, in a different Hebrew verb tense, that word is also translated to kneel or to bow down. And so when we're talking about praising God, worshiping God, it almost has this imagery of God, you are so awesome, worthy, so much greater than I am, so much more majestic, holy, and everything than I am, that all I can do is just bow down before you. It carries this connotation of humility before the God of the universe. And we're going to see this connotation of humility throughout the psalm, because I think our praise really starts with a spirit of humility. Now, as he's commanding himself to praise God, he's going to try to put in focus who that God is and who the one true God is. And that's what he's going to say in verses 3-5. He says, "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." I want to put this in a little bit of context for us. In many ancient cultures, when they would have a problem, they would go to the god of that problem. Okay, there's no rain, so we go to the rain god and we worship and pray to the rain god. We're going to war, so we're going to need to make some sacrifices to the war god. We have fertility problems or sickness problems or whatever. There is the god of that problem that they would go to. And many times the nation of Israel was tempted to go after and pursue and seek those false gods. And I think what David is saying here is, don't even think about going after those false gods. Don't even consider those false gods. Instead, remember that he is the forgiving God, the healing God, the redeeming God. He's putting into focus the one true God and making sure as he is commanding himself to worship, he's saying, don't worship anything. The command is to worship the one true, holy, righteous God. Now, in my life, when things go wrong, when I have problems, who do I look to for help? Now, we don't have the rain gods and the war gods so much anymore, but I still have my variety of gods that I look to. I look to the God of my intellect. I just need to really think about it, and I can figure out, I can scheme, and I can get a solution to the problem. I look to the God of my money, my talents, my abilities, and I can figure out a way. If I have the problem, I can put a little money out, or I've got these different abilities, and I will come up with the solution to the problem. We look to the God of modern medicine, and I thank God for modern medicine, but we look for it as the cure-all for all problems out there. And I look and I think again what David is saying here is, we can put all our hope in all these different gods that we're searching after, but he's saying, look to the real God. Praise the real God. Worship the real God. Praise God always. Think about this for a second. When things go wrong in your world, who do you typically blame? For me, a lot of times, I end up blaming God. God, why did you cancel these flights? Why are you allowing this sickness? Why are you allowing these set of problems in my life? My blame is directed towards God. Think of the number of non-Christians that I have talked to, and they're like, I could never believe in God because he has allowed X to happen in my life. Now, when things are going right, who do I give credit to? You know, I did such a great job planning that event and coming up all the logistics of that, and that is awesome how all those things came together because I was so smart in the way that I did that. You know, that surgeon was just so skilled in everything and everything that he's done, and man, I have worked so hard to get to this point in my life, and it is all about what I have done. And what David is saying is, let's give credit to where the credit is due. You know, so often I'm like, I don't like the seat I'm in, and I'm going to blame God. And David is saying, man, seat you're in. Let's give credit to where credit is due. Let's praise and worship the God who heals, who pardons, who redeems, who crowns, and who satisfies. You know, I remember when my wife was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago, and now she's doing great. But I remember when that happened, I was like, God, seriously, what gives? Like, I'm a pastor here. I'm doing all these things for you. You know, why now? You got nothing better planned than this? And just one time I was talking to the Lord, and it hit me. He's like, Aaron, you are so frustrated with me over this one thing that's happened, that you have forgotten all the other things that have gone on in your life. Do you really think, after all the other things that I've done so far to bring you to this point, that I've just randomly forgotten about you, that I fell asleep at the wheel? See, when problems happen, we love to blame God, but we stop and we forget and we have ignored to give praise to the one true God. Because regardless of what I think, I feel, or I'm experiencing, the God of the universe is worthy to be praised. And you know, it changes me when I stop and when I praise. I mean, you see so often with in the Psalms, the writer is frustrated, he's annoyed, he's just angry with the Lord, and then he stops and he praises God. And you see, his seat isn't changing. The circumstances he is in isn't changing. But his attitude is changing as he praises the Lord. And my point is, I think the reason David lists out all the who in verses 3 to 5 is because David wants us to always remember to praise the one true God, not the gifts that God has given. We can't forget who the real God is. In verses 6 to 14, he's going to build on this even more and give us even more of a reminder of who the real God is and what he has done. And you may be like me a lot of times, and you're like, today I can't think of any good reason to praise God for what's going on right now. But even if I can't think of a good reason to praise God today, what he's going to argue here in the next several verses is there's always a reason to praise God for what he has done in the past or what he will do in the future. So I'm going to read 6 to 14, which I think is so rich with illustrations and allusions to the Old Testament, and then we're going to talk through them. So in verse 6 he says, "The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to us to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Now, looking through these verses, going back to 6 and 7, he talks about the righteous deeds that God did for the oppressed. I think here he's referring to the way that God delivered his people out of Egypt. They had been oppressed in Egypt for 400 years. And when the Israelites finally cried out to God, God sent Moses to deliver them through the whole, all the 10 plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and all the provisions in the wilderness. God performed his righteous deeds for those who were oppressed. In verse 8, I think he is quoting from Exodus 34:6, where he says this exact same phrase, where that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And it's a portion where God was revealing himself to Moses and to the people through the law and in many different ways. And David is trying to remind himself, remind the people of who God is and what God did for them. In verse 9 and 10, he talks about how God doesn't always strive with us. He's not always angry with us. He hasn't dealt with us according to what we deserve or rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I think he's reminding them of so often in Israel's history, you know, whether it's a period of the Exodus, God, they would complain and they would be frustrated with God about so many things. Like, we don't have water, we don't have bread, we don't have all these problems, we don't have meat. And they would complain. And God would provide. He wasn't giving them what they deserved. He was giving them something better than what they deserved. You know, through the whole period of the judges, it's this whole cycle of them turning away from God, them forgetting God, them abandoning God, and God sending an oppressor. And they would cry out to God for help and for deliverance. And God wouldn't say, well, you keep ignoring me, you keep abandoning me, I'm done with you. No, he would provide another deliverer, another savior, another judge to rescue them during that time. I think what he's doing here is saying, guys, and really David is talking to himself, remember God's track record. Remember what he has done. Remember that time where God had brought us out of Egypt, but we were at the walls of the Red Sea, and we're kind of trapped there because the Egyptian army was coming, and we're like Moses, where there are not enough graves there. We're complaining, we're whining, we don't like the seat that we were in. But Moses said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And God, through an amazing miracle, opened up the Red Sea, and the nation of Israel was able to cross on dry land. And then after they cross, the Egyptian army is still coming, and they're like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And God brings down the waters on top of them. And without the nation of Israel, as much as lifting a sword, the most powerful army in that day and age was wiped out in front of their eyes. And I think for me, a lot of times, I can look at stories like that of the Old Testament and be like, well, it just happened then. It's just like, so weird. Like, I can't seem to relate sometimes to that. But the power of the God who did all of those miracles that we record and we see in the Bible is the same power of the God who lives within you and who lives within me. That same power of God is the same God who has promised to never leave or forsake me. That same God is the same God who has promised that he is working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his promise. And that same God is the God who is worthy of all of my praise. Preach that, Aaron. And I would say that same God is the God who put me in the seat I'm in right now. You know, verse 11 and 12, they're really popular verses. And just a couple things I want to point out to us. First of all, it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Astronomers will tell us that the universe is constantly expanding. It's constantly growing and getting bigger. So when he's making this analogy that his love for us is greater than the height between the earth and the heavens, he's talking about how it's infinite. It's constantly growing, and that's how infinite and amazing it is. As he talks about how our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, you and I know the east and west never meet each other. And something that I think that's even cooler, that word that says he has removed our transgressions from us. That word removed in Hebrew is in the perfect tense, which means it is a done and completed action. That each of my sins, past, present, future, have already been taken away from me. They have already been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. See, my sin separated me from a holy, just, and righteous God. But God loved me so much because his love for me is infinite that he sent his one and only son into this world to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead and separated my sins as far as the east is from the west. That anyone who would believe in that, believe in him and what he has done for you and what he has done for me would be saved. Not because I've done something amazing, not because I'm worthy of that, not because I have performed a bunch of great things for God, but because of his great love and my belief. My sins have been separated from me. I have a relationship with God now, and I will spend an eternity with God in heaven. And I don't know where each of you are right now today. I don't know about each of the struggles that you are facing right now, but I do know so many of us are facing struggles that are hard and that are real. Whether that's struggles of unemployment, illnesses, depression, anxiety, wayward children, or just the daily struggle to raise my children. I'm busy, I'm sitting in traffic, things are not going the way that I wanted them or the way I was thinking. I don't know exactly what your struggle is, but I know those struggles are real. In the last few years, my family has had more than their fair share of it, and I'm not saying this is easy, I'm not just saying we should put on a happy face. But what I believe David is challenging me and challenging us in is regardless of the seat I'm in, I should praise God always. And even if I don't like what's going on right now, I can remember the things that he's done for us in the past. Look back at your own life. Look back at the things that God has done. Praise him for those things. And if I can't think of those things, I'm frustrated about those things, look towards the future and the forgiveness that God has for us. The eternity we'll spend with him in heaven. And that eternity is the ultimate trump card for why you and I should be praising God. You know, it's like Peter in John chapter 6. Jesus has been saying a whole bunch of hard things, and a lot of people that were following Jesus were abandoning him and leaving him. And a lot of, the big crowd is shrinking down. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "Are you guys leaving me too?" And Peter responds, "Where would we go? For in you are the words of eternal life." I don't know what's going on in your world today, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we will spend an eternity with God in heaven. That's awesome. And the God we serve is worthy of our praise. One other note on verse 11. Again, as I said, God's love is described as infinite here, as high as the heavens are above the earth. That same analogy is used one other place in Scripture. It's the exact same phrase in Hebrew. It's used in Isaiah 55, verse 9, which says this: "For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's important to note here that God is both infinitely loving towards you and towards me, and he is also infinitely wise. I understand that at many times it is hard to trust God. But remember, as you are struggling, as you're struggling to figure out the why, and I don't know the why, and there's a lot of things that I have never figured out the why for in my life. Remember, God is infinitely wise and infinitely loving. You know, back to the seat that Pastor Francois was in, he was grumbling about losing his seat. But he did not have all the data. He did not know the future. But the God of the universe, who made you and made me, has all the data. And today, there's a lot of things that I don't know what's all the reasons why things are going on. I don't have all the data. But God does have all the data. He does have all the information, and he loves you infinitely. And that is an amazing reason why we should trust and praise God. Again, back to kind of the theme of what we're talking about today, that we should praise God always. Even if I don't get the now, think to the past and think to the future. We may not have all the data. We don't have all the data. But think, that annoyance that I'm facing right now as I'm stuck in traffic, the God of the universe could be saving my life. I don't get the seat I'm in, but I know my God has all the data, and I know my God is good, and my God loves me. Continuing in verses 15 to 18, he's going to give us a reminder of what man is. We talked a lot today about who God is. Now he's going to focus a little more on mankind, and this really brings in this spirit of humility towards what David is encouraging us in. In verse 15, he says this, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them." Here, mankind, in a flattering way, is compared to grass, which is here today and is quickly gone tomorrow. And I think one of the reasons that I have a hard time praising God a lot of times is I have an overinflated view of myself. Especially here in the United States, we love our American dream where we're just going to work hard and we're going to just achieve everything because of my hard work and my determination and my this. And the reality this psalm is teaching me and you is that we are like grass, which is here one season and gone the next. And we don't have time today to really fully dive into this lie, but what I want you to hear is this. I want you to listen to the contrast here in verse 17. Man has just been compared to dust. But then listen to verse 17. "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him." See, you and I are temporal. We're vanishing. But God's love towards you is eternal. As it talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. From eternity past, God has loved us. And in eternity, looking forward, we will spend an eternity with God, experiencing his love and his mercy in heaven. From everlasting to everlasting, God has loved you and God has loved me. I am temporal. I am fading. This world is fading, but God's love for you and me will never fade. And that is an amazing reason why I should praise him. And one of the reasons why it's so important for me to praise, because it reminds me of my true place. It keeps me humble and keeps me from doing dumb things. You know, we've all heard the line, pride comes before a fall. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You know, I need to praise because I need that humility in my life. It puts me in perspective with who God is. And just even as a little diagnostic for you and for me, if you're really struggling with praise, if you're really struggling, I would check your pride. Because without humility, it is so hard, if I would say impossible, to praise God. Praise does not exist in the presence of pride. And that's why, you know, even that command to praise and bless, remember how it's in that kneeling position. He's commanding himself to get down before the Lord and bless and praise and worship God. He's going to close in verses 19 to 22 with this exhortation for all creation to praise God. In verse 19, he says this, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." He starts off and he's going to say God has dominion over all. He is the highest authority. In verse 20, he says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength to perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Here David is kind of working his way down from the angels, which are in the heavens, to the hosts and the stars, all the way down to creation in this world, and finally down to his own soul, saying all of these things, commanding all of them to bless and praise God. And again, he's ending with that command to himself. Man, I know I'm not in the right place. I need to bless. I need to praise God. You know, back to my time in Haiti, it was amazing that when I stopped being frustrated with everything and I said, okay, God, I'm just going to praise you for what I know you've done and what you're going to do. It's amazing the way that I just felt this peace over me, and I still don't know why God did what he did. But I know that he's good, that he's God, and he has a plan. My seat didn't change. It's not like I got a phone call the next day. It's like, oh, actually, we're actually all here. Not like my seat changed and I even figured out exactly why it was, you know, going on. But the attitude changed of praise. And an attitude change of a peace and a trust in the God of the universe. You know, over the past couple months, my honey-do list at home has grown significantly. My wife and I just keep sitting around and talking, and we're like, well, we should do this, we need to do this, let's fix that. And I've been spending a lot of time on these over the last few months, but there's definitely in the back of my mind of like, well, you know, the NBA playoffs are on. You know, there's all these other fun things that I'd enjoy doing. Instead, I'm painting this, that, or fixing this, that, or the next thing. And I could be like, God, this is frustrating. I have these things that I want to do. But honestly, 2 months after we moved into our house that we live in, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. And really for the last several years, she just hasn't had the energy or strength to do a lot of these things. And I could be sitting around frustrated, like, oh, I want to go play. I want to do what I want to do. I mean, it has been just so sweet to sit around with my wife and talk and paint and do different things together. I've been having a blast with it. And it's that attitude that's there. Instead of saying, God, why am I in the seat? Say, God, I'm praising you in my seat. And I hope, I really hope you hear, I'm not just talking about the power of positive thinking here. I'm not just talking about, you know, if the body, you know, or whatever the mind can conceive, the body can achieve, okay? That's a lie. I mean, no matter what I think in my brain, I will never be a professional athlete. It isn't happening. But that's a lie because my confidence is in the wrong thing. My confidence would be in myself than whatever my mind can conceive, okay? But my confidence here isn't in myself. My confidence here is in the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God of the universe who spoke his very words and all the universe that you and I see came into existence. My confidence is in the God who loved you and who loved me so much that he sent his only son, sending his son. I can't even imagine taking my own sin, putting him into this world and allowing him to be beaten, stricken, and dying on a cross for your sins and for my sins. That's who my confidence is in. And that is why why my God is worthy of all of my praise. Because regardless of what I think, what I feel, or what I am experiencing, God is worthy to be praised for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Regardless of the seat I find myself in, my God is good, and my God is worthy of my praise. Now, if you came in this morning and you, again, you would not consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, the best way that you can praise him and worship him today is by accepting the free gift that he offers you and he offers me. He died on a cross for your sins. He died on a cross for my sins. And he offers each of us forgiveness. He offers us each eternal life. He offers us each a relationship with him. But that starts by me bowing before him and saying, God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I accept the gift that you have given me. And if that's where you came in today, man, I would encourage you, that is the greatest way that you can praise and bless God today, by accepting his gift and passing from death to life. For those of us who came in and were already followers of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you that our hearts need to be full of praise and full of blessing to the Lord. There are many things that bring me into that heart of praise and into the blessing. For me, a lot of times, I love reading different psalms, whether that's psalms of praise, whether that's Psalm 1, 8, 9, 19, 100, 103. Pick your psalm, any psalm. I love reading those different psalms of praise as they remind me of God's truth. I love praising the Lord through song, through different worship songs, and focusing on the lyrics, not just kind of having them going through the back of my head, but stopping and thinking through what they're saying. Whatever it is for you, I believe wherever we are, we can praise God, we can worship God. Whatever that is for you, I encourage you to develop and continue that heart of praise, that heart of worship to God. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and then the band is going to come out here, and they're going to sing the song, 10,000 Reasons, which starts, Bless the Lord, which is taken from this psalm. And I'd encourage you, I know several of you are working in the parking lot, and you need to run out as soon as I pray, and that's awesome. I really appreciate what you're doing, and I pray that as you're helping us get out of here, you can praise and worship the Lord. But if you don't have to run, I don't really encourage you to stop and think about the words that we're singing. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Command your soul to worship God. Because regardless of what you think, what you feel, or are experiencing, the God of this universe is worthy to be praised for what he has done, what he is doing, and will do. Let me pray for us. Oh God, we come before you as a congregation and we acknowledge that we don't know everything, but you are God and you do know, and you are good. And God, I don't understand a lot of the seats that each of us are in today, but we know that you know. And so, God, I pray within our hearts today that you would allow us to overflow with a praise and a worship towards you, that you would allow us to overflow with grateful and thankful hearts to you, God, because you are awesome, you are God, and you are good. God, I pray even as we sing right now that our hearts would bless you and worship you because you are so amazing, Lord. We love you. And we thank you for you and what you have done for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Peace.